In our ongoing series evaluating 11 martial arts through the lens of real-world self-defense, we turn our attention to Taekwondo. Known for its lightning-fast kicks and dazzling aerial techniques, Taekwondo has become one of the most widely practiced martial arts on the planet. It is an Olympic sport, a fixture in strip mall doyangs across the globe, and a discipline that has introduced millions of people to martial arts. But popularity and practicality are not the same thing. When you strip away the trophies, the colorful belts, and the crowd-pleasing spinning kicks, how does Taekwondo actually hold up when facing a real attack on the street? This article takes an honest, grounded look at Taekwondo. We explore where it came from, what principles guide it, how practitioners actually train, and most importantly, whether it can protect you when violence finds you. We also place it within our ranking of the 11 arts so you can make an informed decision about your own defensive preparation. If you are a survivalist focused on being fully prepared for acts of violence, understanding the strengths and weaknesses of any fighting system is essential. Let us separate the hype from the reality. The origins and history of Taekwondo. Taekwondo is a Korean martial art whose name roughly translates to the way of the foot and fist. While the version we know today is relatively modern, its roots stretch back through centuries of Korean fighting traditions. Ancient Korean kingdoms practiced martial systems such as Taekin and Subak, which emphasized kicking and open-hand techniques. These older arts laid the groundwork for what would eventually become Taekwondo. The martial art as we recognize it was formalized in the mid-20th century. After the Japanese occupation of Korea ended in 1945, several martial arts schools known as Kwans opened across the country. Many of these schools had been influenced by Japanese karate, blending those methods with traditional Korean kicking techniques. In the 1950s, an effort began to unify these separate schools under a single banner. The name Taekwondo was officially adopted around 1955, creating a national martial art that represented Korean identity and pride. From there, Taekwondo spread rapidly. The government promoted it heavily, and Korean instructors traveled worldwide to teach it. Two major governing bodies emerged, the International Taekwondo Federation and the World Taekwondo Federation, each with slightly different rules and emphasis. Taekwondo debuted as a demonstration sport at the 1988 Seoul Olympics and became a full medal sport in 2000. This history reveals something important about the art's design. Taekwondo was shaped by three forces: combat tradition, national discipline, and eventually competitive sport. As it evolved toward the Olympics, much of its focus shifted toward scoring points in controlled matches rather than surviving unpredictable street violence. Understanding this tension between combat origins and sport orientation is the key to evaluating its self-defense value today. Core principles and philosophy. Taekwondo is more than a collection of kicks and strikes. It is built on a foundation of guiding tenets that shape how practitioners think and behave. The five classic tenets are courtesy, integrity, perseverance, self-control, and indomitable spirit. These are not just words repeated in class. They are meant to guide the practitioner both inside and outside the training hall. Courtesy teaches respect toward instructors, training partners, and others. Integrity encourages honesty and doing what is right. Perseverance pushes students to keep going through difficulty and repetition. Self-control is especially important, teaching practitioners to manage their emotions and their considerable striking power responsibly. Indomitable spirit represents the mental toughness to stand firm even against overwhelming odds. This emphasis on discipline and mental development is one of Taekwondo's greatest contributions. Many students, especially children and teens, gain confidence, focus, and self-respect through years of training. The mental side of the art builds a mindset that refuses to quit, which has real value in any dangerous confrontation. Strategically, Taekwondo prioritizes speed, agility, and distance. The art is built around fighting at kicking range, where the practitioner can use their legs, which are longer and more powerful than the arms, to keep an opponent at bay. Mobility is essential, with practitioners staying light on their feet, ready to dart in and out of range. High kicks target the head and upper body, aiming to end confrontations quickly with a decisive blow. This approach creates a fighter who is fast, mobile, and able to strike from unexpected angles. However, this same philosophy creates blind spots when an opponent closes the distance or forces the fight to the ground, situations that fall outside Taekwondo's preferred range. Signature techniques and training methods. Taekwondo is famous above all for its kicking arsenal, which is among the most developed of any martial art. Understanding these techniques and how they are trained helps clarify what a practitioner can actually do in a confrontation. Core techniques. The kicking repertoire is vast. The roundhouse kick is a fast, whipping strike delivered with the top of the foot or shin. The side kick drives power straight into a target using the edge of the foot. The front kick is a quick, straight thrust useful for creating distance. Beyond these basics, Taekwondo is known for spectacular spinning and jumping kicks, such as the spinning back kick, the tornado kick, and various flying variations. These techniques generate tremendous force and can be genuinely dangerous when they land. Although kicking dominates, Taekwondo also includes hand strikes such as straight punches, knife hand strikes, and backfist strikes. Blocks are taught to deflect incoming attacks, and various stances provide the foundation for balance and power. That said, the hand techniques generally receive far less attention than the kicks. Training methods. Training in Taekwondo follows several common patterns. Forms, called pumse, are choreographed sequences of movements practiced solo. They build technique, memory, and discipline, though they do not replicate the chaos of real fighting. Board breaking is another well-known practice, demonstrating focus, power, and precision by shattering wooden boards with strikes and kicks. Sparring is where much of the practical work happens, but here the sport orientation becomes clear. Olympic-style competition uses point-based scoring with protective gear. Kicks to the head and torso earn points, while punches count for little and grappling is not allowed. This encourages a bouncing, tag-oriented style focused on scoring rather than delivering damage. Some schools do emphasize more practical self-defense drills, but many prioritize sport rules. The gap between how students train and how real violence unfolds is the single most important thing to consider when judging Taekwondo's practical value. Taekwondo students do spar, and they spar hard. The problem is not the absence of live training. It is what the live training teaches them, real-world self-defense effectiveness. Now for the honest verdict. How does Taekwondo perform when facing a genuine attack? The answer is a mix of real strengths and serious limitations. Strengths: Taekwondo's powerful kicks are no joke. A well-trained practitioner can deliver strikes with enough force to end a confrontation instantly. The front kick in particular is one of the finest tools in existence for creating distance and stopping an advancing attacker, and it requires no acrobatics to throw. The emphasis on speed and mobility helps a defender stay out of reach and control the distance, which is a valuable tactical advantage. The rigorous conditioning builds excellent cardiovascular fitness, flexibility, and reflexes. The mental discipline instilled by years of training also produces confidence and composure, which can help a person stay calm and act decisively under pressure. Limitations: the weaknesses are significant, and the most serious one is not a missing skill. It is a trained habit. Real attacks happen at close range, where kicks lose their effectiveness and underdeveloped hand striking becomes a liability. Taekwondo offers almost no grappling, no clinch work, and no ground defense, meaning a practitioner who gets tackled or grabbed is in territory he has never visited. High and spinning kicks, while impressive, are risky in confined spaces like hallways, elevators, or crowded rooms, and they leave the kicker off balance and exposed. Worse, the sport rule set actively rewards the habits that get you hurt in a parking lot. Hands drop, because nothing punishes it. Kicks go high, because high kicks score. Distance is treated as a rule rather than a choice, and a real attacker will close it in a heartbeat. The low kicks, the conditioning, and the balance are the parts that transfer to a real encounter, and they transfer well. Almost everything else the sport rewards, a violent attacker will punish. Where Taekwondo ranks among the 11. Among the 11 martial arts we evaluate for self-defense, Taekwondo ranks 10th. This is not a dismissal of the athleticism, which is extraordinary, nor of the discipline, which is real. It is a recognition that few arts on this list ask you to unlearn as much before you can use what you know. Against Kung Fu. Kung Fu sits one place above Taekwondo, and the placement will surprise people who have watched a competitive Taekwondo match. Taekwondo spars. Many Kung Fu schools do not. Should live training not win? Not here, and the reason is worth sitting with. A Kung Fu student from a demonstration school arrives at a violent encounter with no useful reflexes. A Taekwondo student from a sport school arrives with reflexes that are worse than none at all. Hands down, weight bouncing, chin exposed, waiting for a referee's whistle that is not coming. Empty is not good. Actively wrong is worse. Where Kung Fu is pressure tested, it also reaches a higher ceiling than sport Taekwondo, because nothing in its ruleset forbids grappling, low kicks, or hitting a man who is already fallen. Against Aikido. Aikido sits one place below Taekwondo, and the gap between them is not close. Taekwondo produces a genuine athlete with genuine power. Its practitioners are conditioned, fast, and accustomed to contact. Aikido produces awareness and composure without the ability to deliver force. A Taekwondo student who lands one clean front kick has ended the encounter. That option is not really available in Aikido, and no amount of philosophy substitutes for it. Against Krav Maga. Krav Maga sits at the top of our ranking, and the contrast is instructive. Krav Maga was designed backwards from the attack. It asks what happens in a parking lot and builds the response. Taekwondo was designed forward from a tradition, then adapted to a scoreboard, and self-defense was never the thing the scoreboard was measuring. Both train hard. Only one trains for the right thing. Practical recommendations. Taekwondo is an excellent choice for building discipline, fitness, and confidence, and it can be a strong foundation for young people. For serious self-defense, treat it as one piece of the puzzle. Supplement it with a grappling art such as Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu or wrestling, and a close-range striking art such as boxing or Muay Thai. Then deliberately train the low kicks and the teep rather than the tornado kick. Combined this way, Taekwondo's kicking power becomes a genuine asset rather than a distraction. Where mixed martial arts fits. No single martial art covers every range of a real attack. Taekwondo gives you kicking power, speed, and conditioning few arts can match. What it does not give you is close quarters, grappling, or habits that survive panic. An attacker does not care which discipline you chose. A real altercation moves between striking range, clinch range, and the ground without asking permission. This is the reason the most capable defenders cross-train. Mixed martial arts is not a 12th style competing with the 11 for a spot on our list. It is the recognition that these arts were never meant to be exclusive choices. Notably, the Taekwondo practitioners who have succeeded in mixed competition succeeded by keeping the kicks and abandoning nearly everything the sport ruleset taught them. That should tell you which parts to keep. Choose the art that fits your body, your schedule, and the school you can actually get to. Build a foundation. Then start filling the gaps. Taekwondo delivers real value in fitness, discipline, and powerful long-range kicking, but it is not a complete self-defense system on its own. Its sport focus and lack of grappling leave dangerous gaps when a fight gets close or hits the ground. For the survivalist committed to being fully prepared for acts of violence, the smart move is to respect what Taekwondo does well while filling its weaknesses with grappling and close-range striking. No single art covers every threat. Honest assessment, cross-training, and consistent practice against resisting opponents matter far more than any belt or trophy. Train with clear eyes, understand what your art can and cannot do, and build the well-rounded skill set that real protection demands.